You'll take your Bible, let's turn to Acts chapter 3. If you didn't bring one with you today, there's one in the pew just in front of you. It has a black cover and it'll read from the same translation that I'll be reading from today, the English Standard Version. So grab one of those and follow along. Acts is a few books into the New Testament. So grab one of those, look along with us today. So you can see the power of the truth of God's Word and not just think I'm making this stuff up. Because if you don't read it for yourself, man, it can just seem too good to be true. But let me tell you, the Word of God is truth. Amen. This is no fairy tale. I'd like to consider a message with you today that I have titled, No Other Name. And as we have been going through a series that Dr. Welch has been teaching on Sunday morning, he's been pointing us to particular conversations in the Word of God and the importance of the gospel and how our conversations play a role in the purpose of the gospel here in this world. And for us as a church, the priority that must be is for us to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and carry that message into the areas that we exist in every single day. And what we want to see as a culture in Park Hills Baptist Church is to see that we are about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we aren't about anything else but then the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when that is what we are about, we will see this city and this area that God has positioned us in, we will see it change for the glory of God. And the amazing part is that God allows us to be a part of His narrative in the gospel. The Bible tells us that God is self-sustaining. He doesn't need us to do His work, but man, God allows us to be a part of His work. He allows us to play a role in that, and we are His messengers. We are the ones whom He has called to carry His message to the world that we live in. And so the youth ministry had an outreach event at a local park right next to Bradley Middle School, Blossom City Park, last Sunday, and we saw two people come to know Christ through that fall festival. And what's awesome about that is, yeah, give God the praise for that, absolutely. What's amazing about that event is we got out there and ate a lot of Bahama Buck snow cones, and those were good, and the kids played a lot of games and got candy, and it was all fun. But we had people from Park Hills Baptist Church who were out at that park just beginning conversations with people. And in one particular instance, a person was sharing the gospel with a couple, and they committed their lives to Jesus Christ. And that didn't happen with every conversation. But when we declare the name of Jesus and we present His gospel to people, you never know at what moment that is going to alter the course of eternity in someone's life. So that's why it's important for us to have the gospel with us and on our heart and on our mind and be praying for God to open those doors that we can send His gospel in hope that it would awaken the heart of someone that they would believe in the Lord Jesus and their life be changed forever. And then when they navigate this life that is so often difficult, and we all experience trials and tribulations, they can rest assured in the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see an instance today in this particular text in Acts chapter 3 to where Peter and John are headed to the temple. And I first want to introduce you to the central character in this story, and that is a man we see described as a lame man. The Bible describes him in this way. In chapter 4, verse 22, we see that this man was into his 40s, so he was a little over 40 years old. We also see there in chapter 3 that this man, in verse 2, a man lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. And so we get some information about him there in verse 2, that he was lame from birth, and that some people carried him and laid him at this gate daily. So that gives us quite the picture of the story of this man's life. Now, lame doesn't mean for the younger generation that he was uncool. But it means he was physically lame. He couldn't walk. Hence the part where people had to carry him and lay him in front of this particular gate that the Bible describes as beautiful. And if we think a little deeper about the life of this man, if you could imagine being in your 40s, and maybe some of you have experience, maybe someone in the room has experienced not being able to walk throughout their life, but this man was not able to experience things that a lot of people were able to experience physically. He wasn't a little baby who got to celebrate his first steps. And so as you live a life when you're limited, that can probably weigh on you, I would think, emotionally and mentally. And so this guy was positioning himself at a good place at the temple, the temple gate called Beautiful, probably a main entrance. If people thought it was beautiful, it's probably something worth walking past. And giving alms was also high on the Jewish list of its worship. As they would go in, giving was a regular part of what they did, and it was a high priority on their list. So he positioned himself in a main traffic area with people coming ready and prepared to give, and he was asking for money. And so he positioned himself well. But you could imagine, even though he may have done all of that, even though people may have been generous, he still had to have doubt in his mind throughout his years to wonder what it would be like to walk, to wonder what it would be like to be able to do the things that other people were able to do throughout their lives. And then he would have an experience this day like he never imagined. As he was laying there in the redundancy of his everyday life in front of that gate, here come Peter and John. And I'd like for us to pick it up in verse 3. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he, the lame man, asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Now I think what's interesting here is Peter and John were full of the Holy Spirit, I believe, in this moment. And they were looking for opportunities to give Jesus to people. This ought to be our mission every single day. And they knew that there was more value in the person of Jesus Christ than any amount of money they could give. But for us, oftentimes, it's a lot easier to give a little bit of money and send someone away than to try to present the hope of the gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ to them. And so kind of as an aside, I would like to encourage you, if an opportunity presents itself, maybe someone's asking you for financial help, make sure that in your heart and mind you understand that God has a purpose for that person's life that goes far beyond any monetary gift that you can give. Now remember, we're going to see later on in chapter 4, there is no other name by which man can be saved. There's no other name. So no amount of money you can give can provide someone with the hope of eternal life. But a simple conversation about the Lord Jesus Christ can offer that hope to someone. Do you agree with that? And so we ought to be ready. We ought to be prepared. We ought to be prayed up in the morning and spending time with God. So when we walk out of the doors of our house, we never know who we're going to run into. These guys were heading to the temple as a part of their regular practice. They were going at the hour of prayer. This is something regularly that they did. And all of us have a routine. All of us have a schedule. We're going to the same places every single week. Some of you are running through Dunkin' Donuts like me 5 or 6 times a week to get some coffee. Some of you are going to other coffee shops, name coffee shop XYZ. There's a ton of them. And so we do these things regularly. You have your routine of going to the bank, going to the grocery store, going to the, I was going to say hair salon, but I guess I'll go ahead and say it since I thought it, to provide you a little joke, haha. But anyway, so you go to these places and you meet people all of the time. And you might even see that same person that you see weekly, like this lame man. What is your thought process about that continuous encounter that you have with those people in your life through your regular routine? Do they become just a redundant person to you that you just see them and kind of ignore them and put them off? Or do you see people as an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, not knowing that it might be their day, that Jesus in His sovereignty on His throne might speak in that instance through the Holy Spirit and wake up that dead heart to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and their life be changed forever from that moment? You see, when you believe in the Lord Jesus and that there is no other name by which man can be saved, that is the authority that we carry with us throughout our everyday lives. But we have to be intentional in those encounters that we are fortunate to come across and look at those as gospel opportunities, not just redundant encounters with the same old people. And I believe that that is really the key. But something amazing happens here. Peter and John say, hey, look at us. I don't recommend just walking up to people saying, hey, look at me. I don't know that you may be trying to be biblical, but I don't recommend that. That might creep people out a little bit, to be honest with you. But nevertheless, they wanted his attention. And something happened in this moment. This lame man was healed. And we see exactly what happened in verse 16. So let's jump there to see what happens. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. Now, when a miracle like this takes place, I think a lot of times we have the inclination to try to figure out who to give the credit to. Because we see two important words here. We see in and through. Read it again. By faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. So we see faith in the name of Jesus and faith through Jesus. And what I have wrestled over this idea, because there's some theology that's about that's taking place here. Because wouldn't we all like to be able to heal people? How awesome would it be to walk in the hospital and declare healing in the name of Jesus and someone just get up out of that hospital bed like this? But what we see here are two things. We see a basis of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Peter and John. There was a basis of faith that Peter and John had in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had seen the miraculous power of God. But if you notice, it's not the tendency of the disciples to just walk around declaring healing to people. It's not their tendency to do that, even though they understood the power of God in them, even though many of us understand the miraculous power of God, we still don't walk around, even though we have a basis of faith in the Lord Jesus, to go around and just declare people to get up and walk or to be healed. And so what I believe has happened is this faith through Jesus is the important part. that this is a moment of the sovereignty of God, that as Peter and John are walking into this temple, Jesus on his throne decided to interrupt the normalcy of this day. And through the sovereign power of Jesus, he spoke through Peter and gave him the boldness to declare healing in the name of Jesus toward this man. And in that sovereign moment, the faith given to Peter to declare that, Jesus also woke up those legs and gave that man the strength to get up, to rise up in that moment. But I do not believe that Peter was just so awesome that he had so much faith in Jesus that he just declared healing and people just got up and walked. I believe when you have a basis of faith in Jesus and you understand who He is and His miraculous power, there are moments where God will come into your situation and use you, but all of the honor and credits go into Jesus. He may come in and even use you to be the mouthpiece for Him, but only Jesus can heal people. Let's make that very clear. Only Jesus can heal. And that's the first point that I want you to see today. Healing belongs to Jesus. So we can see elements of faith in Peter and John in this moment, but the important part to understand is the Lord Jesus Christ, sovereign on His throne, healed this man. And if Peter had healed this man because of his enormous amount of faith, perhaps, maybe you think it takes an enormous amount of faith to heal someone. Well, the Bible says a mustard seed can move a mountain. But it's not about the quantity of our faith, it's about the object of our faith. When your faith is in Jesus, it doesn't take a bunch of faith when you have a God who is over everything because He's going to do what He wants in His timing. That's the sovereignty of God. So we can trust in Him. We can even ask Him to heal someone. But at the end of the day, you might be thinking, I have all the faith in the world. You may be praying morning, noon, and night. You may want with everything you have to heal someone or see a situation turn around or see someone get back on track in their relationship with God. Whatever you're praying for, you might think you're doing everything you can do. When the simple truth is Jesus just wants your faith to remain in Him. And understand that Jesus is in control of the grand narrative of this life. And He's going to interrupt and intervene at the moments that are a part of His sovereign plan. So when healing belongs to Jesus, church, we have to trust in Him. We see a couple of instances that I used a few weeks ago. We see the moment when Jesus calmed the storm. The disciples were there in the boat. Jesus was asleep, taking a nap, and the storm was overwhelming. And so the disciples were freaking out. They were scared to death. They thought they were going to die. So what do? They go get Jesus. They wake Him up. Jesus walks out, comes out of the bowel of the boat, and is standing there with them. Does Jesus give them a lecture about their faith? He asked them why their faith was small, why their faith was not in Him completely in that moment. But no, they just called on Jesus, and He didn't give them a lecture about their faith being weak. They looked to Him in panic, but Jesus decided to calm that storm. And for you and I, our faith should just simply be in Jesus, to trust Him, to trust the path that He has us on. Jesus didn't give them the lecture about the amount of their faith, but you know, we have the tendency to be hard on ourselves, to say, man, I must not be doing something right. I've been praying for my kid and for their life to turn around and follow Jesus. I want that so badly for them. You just keep praying. You keep trusting. And that'll happen in God's timing. The name of Jesus is not meant for us to take and manipulate life circumstances the way that we want things to turn out. But I believe God hears us. I believe He honors those who have faith in Him to the extent of Jesus is working things together for the good of us who love and are called according to His purpose, but that's not on our terms. That's according to His sovereign plan. Healing belongs to Jesus. Number two, I would also like you to see that testimony, our testimony, belongs to Jesus. Now, testimony is a churchy word some of you may not be familiar with, but it is just simply about our story. What is the story of your life to this point in relation to God is the testimony of a Christian. The most important part of your story is about the difference that God has made in your life. And Dr. Welsh did a good job teaching this through the Can We Talk evangelism training by getting us to see people don't want to hear, I go to church and I read my Bible and this, and all those things are good, but people want to see and hear, and I believe God uses the testimony of a changed life to speak in an effective way into the lives of people. And so what we can do in the power of our testimony is think, where has God changed me? What has God changed in my life for His glory? And then how can I paint that picture of how by the grace of God He came into the life of a regular old person like me and begin changing me to be used for His glory? So that causes us to question then, what has been changed in my life? Not what have you changed, but what has God transformed in your life? Were you addicted to the things of this world? And that doesn't have to be drugs or alcohol, even though the word addiction is used in those terms a lot. There are a lot of different things we can be addicted to. Money, cars, popularity. The world is after us with all types of things that it says to value over God. But were you addicted to the things of this world? And then you saw in the Word of God, you were called to obedience. You begin laying your life before the Lord and praying. And God transformed in you those desires for this world and created a heart after His. And then what does that look like today? That's an example of a testimony to where God has taken and transformed something in your life. And if you sit there today and you think, well, I want this thing to change, but it's not being transformed, maybe it's not Jesus whom you are seeking for the transformation. Maybe you're trying to substitute it with another worldly thing. Maybe you're just ignoring the fact that you need to walk with Jesus. Maybe you're just not believing that Jesus can heal you from whatever it is you're struggling with. Because I'm here to tell you, there's no other name that can set you free from a struggle, an addiction, than the name of Jesus Christ. There's no one else. There's no other name who can set you free from that struggle than Jesus Christ Himself. So what is your testimony, church? Our testimony belongs to Jesus. And you may wonder, what in the world does this have to do with Acts chapter 3? Well, look at verse 11. While He clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety we have made Him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified His servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release Him. Verse 14, but you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. Boy, he put it on them, didn't he? Man. What a tough little sermon he gave right there. But do you see how the testimony belongs to Jesus? When you live in this world for Jesus, and you are on Team Jesus, there's no other name that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is the inevitable end that we are all headed toward. When you live for that Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, that creates a testimony that makes waves in this world. And when waves are made in this world, it gains attention. And then you have a responsibility when you live for Christ and attention is gained. Do you believe and live that your testimony belongs to Jesus? Or do you use little moments of attention, little moments when you get the eyes put on you to point to yourself, to gloat about what you have done? Or do you acknowledge we're really helpless without Jesus Christ? We have no power. Jesus has it all. The only power we have is the power of God that He allows to live in us through the Holy Spirit. Hey, and that's a lot of power, by the way. But it's not to take and do as we wish. Peter and John could have started a church plant right at this very moment. They could have become celebrity pastors. They could have wrote a book, started a blog, started a website, created a 501c3, Peter and John Ministries International, and started gloating about, look at us, we heal people. But you know what? The Holy Spirit wouldn't allow them to do that. You know why? Because it was not about them. The names Peter and John mean nothing compared to the name of Jesus Christ. Our testimony belongs to Jesus. Don't forget the only reason that you're following Jesus in here today is because He called you out of darkness into light. Is because His grace that is not of your own came calling your name. And that you saw one day, I am a sinner who has fallen short of the glory of God. And you stepped out in obedience to follow Jesus, and He changed your life one day. That might have been 70 years ago, 7 years ago. Here in a few minutes, it might be 7 minutes ago. Our testimony belongs to Jesus. And this is another reason why I believe Jesus gets all the credit for healing this man, because if it would have been Peter that healed him, I think Peter would have owned up to that perhaps in this moment. But God in this situation was going to keep all of the attention on Jesus. The most important thing you can give to someone is the hope of Jesus. It's just that simple. It is too good, but not to be true. It's too good and it is true. But what are we offering to people every single day? What are we offering? Are we offering a little ounce of love when it's convenient for us? Or are we trying to substitute things instead of the person of Jesus? Are we trying to just give them church instead of give them Jesus? Are we trying to just give them our Sunday school class and an invite to that instead of give them Jesus? Reminds me of a story that David Platt tells of one of his friends who is a pastor. He's a pastor in a college town. And he says every year he loves it when the beginning of the semester comes back around, because his attendance triples in this little church because he has a lot of college students attending. And he said even though the attendance triples, the offering only goes up about $17 a month. Hey man, it's life in college. But one day there sits this brother in a pew like a lot of you, with two bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits. Brought his food in with him. Some of you are like, oh, he brought that in the Lord's house. Hey man, college town, you just got to let stuff like that go. He starts eating on one, and then here comes the offering plate. His brother's sitting there, and he's thinking, man. So he writes a little note, attaches it to that bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, and puts that joker in the offering plate. And that note said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you." You see, he thought he was being cool. He thought he was being Acts chapter 3. Come on, man. Is he serious? A bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit in the offering plate? What would our ushers do? I mean, you may eat it. I don't know. Is it still warm? I don't know. I may eat it. I don't know. Let me be an usher that day if we've got things like that coming through. Church, listen, there's nothing greater that we can give to people than the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. But you know, this miracle was a precursor to a sermon. A sermon where Peter stood up. There was a lot of attention loss at that point. It was all on Peter and John. And Peter used this moment to captivate the audience with the message. And it's the final thing I want you to see today. The gospel belongs to Jesus. This miracle was a precursor to a sermon. The sermon where Peter would come in and be brutally honest with this crowd that was caught up in him. And Peter was thinking, what a tragedy. What a tragedy for all you men and women to get caught up in me. Please don't miss the point. Please don't miss the point. We want you to see Jesus, not us. Think of what Peter has done, his past, his failures. Maybe that scared him to death in that moment. He just said, don't look at me. It's all to credit of Jesus. But look there specifically in verse 17. He's continuing this sermon. "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled." Here it is. Here's the gospel. "Repent, therefore, and turn again, so that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago." And let me say, that's not the gospel, but the response to the gospel that he's after. The gospel is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, born from a virgin, lived a perfect life to fulfill the Father's will by dying on the cross, to take on the wrath of God, to take on the punishment of sin, so that when he died, and died he did, he was buried in a tomb, only to walk out of that tomb on the third day, fully victorious, fully defeating death. And now Peter is saying, don't forget you are a sinner. Don't forget that you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians 2. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, completely without hope. And if it were not for the grace of God opening the door, God's unmerited favor to us, we can't earn it and we can't deserve it, but God's grace finds its way to us. And then as someone speaks the gospel, the Holy Spirit stirs the heart of man to the point of where when you decide to follow Jesus, you express faith in Christ and in Christ alone. And that is the moment that your testimony begins. And that is the moment that we see the gospel belongs to Jesus. Why does it belong to him? Because he is the gospel. The man Jesus Christ is the gospel. So if we are giving people anything other than Jesus, we're not giving them the gospel. We're not giving them hope. An invitation to church isn't hope. It's good and we want you to do that, but that's not hope. You have more to offer than that in the form of the gospel message. It is Jesus and him alone. That is the gospel, church. And we ought to be excited about that. We ought to be grateful that God has given us such a message to take to this world. And in chapter 4, verse 12, you can flip one page, maybe it's one page over. There's the verse. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's it. So if you sit here this morning and you wonder, man, how do I go to heaven? What do you believe about Jesus? We don't just use generic terms God around here. It's not good enough. A God can be anything. This plant could be a God and is to someone. We use the name Jesus. Why? Because the Bible says there's no other name by which man can be saved. That's why we use the specific name of Jesus. You want eternal life, you've got to go through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That word, the way, means the literal pathway to God. It's Jesus. So I challenge you, church, take that message of healing, of testimony, and of hope in the name of Jesus to the people that you run into every single day. This week, don't put it off, and let's see God work in our lives.